I love this story about Saul because the story is about a king. Oh, let me teach like I want to do. In the highest ranking position in the kingdom. A king usually can do whatever they want to do. But it tickles me because here it is. You have a king that has the ability to do whatever he wants to do and is not accountable to anybody in the kingdom. But yet he's still accountable to somebody. So I really want to deal with the disobedient factor that's ramping the church, that's hindering your next move in God. Because I'm like this, Mike Jones. Why is disobedience better than sacrifice? Who is disobedient is better? Why is obeying God better than sacrificing or offering unto God? Who is it better for? Don't tell me, because God preferred to have a sacrifice, right? Huh? So I know he loves sacrifices. So is this statement really referring to God, or is it referring it's better for me? This ain't got nothing to do with God. He don't need your obedience, and he don't need your sacrifice. He's trying to unveil something to you that is hindering your next move, and I'm trying to teach you something that if you obey is better than any of the sacrifices that you're giving me. So if you want to predicate your next move on a sacrifice or a praise or an offering, I'm going to tell you how to supersede that by being obedient. So you need to just keep your praise and stop trying to manipulate God with your praise and learn how to be obedient. If you want to be blessed, look at your neighbor and say, the title of this message is Obedience is Required Before You Can Be Blessed. Now, in all of that I'm saying, I thought it was falling underneath the umbrella of the Ten Commandments. Is a reason, or sin is the reason, underneath the Ten Commandments is a reason why we're not blessed. Go to Philippians 2:5. Just keep that where we was at inside the scripture. Where we was at. Some of y'all right now mad at me. That's okay. Got an attitude. Don't even want to hear this. That's okay. You know, I'm at a place now where I really don't care. I used to worry about these things. I'm going to tell you why. It's a ploy by the devil to destroy us. Philippians 2:5. I can't even grab it.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
What I'm about ready to tell you is the mindset that you're supposed to have in order to be blessed in Christ Jesus. This has to be not something that you perform, but something that you are.
Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be
equal with God. He had everything in all levels that it needs to be. He was there. He was in a position. He was in authority. Never use his titles or authority to get his way. Never had to say, I'm in charge of this. Never had to say, I'm the head. Never had to say anything. Never had to throw anything out there. Never had to say, I gave offers. I gave tithes. Use nothing that could advance his movement, but just got up. Come on.
But made himself of no reputation.
But humbled himself. Keep on.
He took upon him the form of a servant.
He took the low road. I love God. He took the low road. He got down on his knees and crawled if he had to. He didn't care about being cute or fancy or anything. He just wanted to get the work done. Watch this.
And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in
fashion. Hold on, I love that. Made in, they didn't know him no different than anybody else. That's a good thing. When you humble at the state that you need to be in, nobody will know your title or position.
That's right.
You're just doing the work. Keep on.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself.
Come on.
And became obedient unto death.
I love that part. That's what I want to do right there. He became obedient to the plan of God. So the obedience factor that we got to perform inside this walk is what God has told us to do. The reason why we're not blessed because we're not falling in obedience to the plan of God. He came in obedience to death, or his plan to, of God to redeem mankind by him dying to the cross. When did he come in obedience to it? Constantly. He was born. He had to stay in obedience. He walked this earth as an adolescent before his ministry came into fullness, and he was obedient to it. When he walked this walk and his ministry was flourishing, he came obedience to it. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he came obedience to what? That he realized that he had to die for mankind. You have to come in obedience to the plan of God for your next stage of blessedness. You're not obedient to me. You're obedient to your blessed state of the future. When you are become obedient to what God said, obedience functions throughout your life constantly. Let me express this another way. Obedience is compliance with an order or request submitted by another. Obedience is to carry out or fulfill the instructions or the commandments of another. Obedience. Sacrifice is a religious act of killing and slaughtering an animal as an offering to God. You want to know why we prefer to sacrifice than to be obedient? We prefer to give praises and sacrifice because we are still in control of the situation. We get to pick the animal to give. We're still in control. We're a bunch of control freaks in the body of Christ that don't want to release anything. And that's why we can't be obedient. Y'all don't have to like me. It is the word. We know that God cannot lie, number two. So we know that if we were to sacrifice or give him a praise, we automatically going to receive something in return. We know that sacrificing is still benefiting us. So it's easier to sacrifice than to be obedient. When praises go up, give and it shall be given back to you. Press down, shaking together as a man's get back into your bosom. So it's easy for me to do these things because I'm going to reap the benefits of a sacrifice. But obedience takes all of me with death at the end. Change at the end. That means everything that I have had will come to a stoppage, and I cannot see beyond the stoppage of it. So, because I don't see the future in the obedience umbrella, I now become rebellious, but I want to rebel in a sneaky way. So I still want to give sacrifices. I still want to do the task, but I want to do it my way. That was Saul's problem. Saul still did what he told him to do. He went down there to the Amalek. He took care of business. He killed everything that he felt that was no good. He placed himself in a position where now he's telling God what is righteous and what is not righteous, what is good and what's not good. And then he throws underneath the umbrella is, I'm going to keep the oxen and the sheep so we can sacrifice unto the Lord on Mount Carmel. But God told him that I know what they did to Israel when they came out of Egypt. I want you to go down there and I want you to destroy them all. All the kids, all the wives, everything that they own. There's a reason why I want you to do it. But he put himself above God or equal to God to make a decision for God and say, God don't know what he's talking about. Out of our or in our plan that God has given unto us, when we change our plan that God has given unto us, we now fall under the umbrella of trying to tell God what's best for us. I know y'all don't like it. That's fine. Go to sleep. That's good. Keep on staying in your mess. I'm going to show you how to be blessed. So now, we fall underneath this umbrella of hope or a feeling of expectation, design, or a certain thing gonna happen. Oh, we want hope and expectation to take us beyond now. Oh, we're going to praise God. We're going to lift his holy name. And we got our whole ministries now set up on just the hope factor. All I have to do is hear a word from God and hope that everything's going to work itself out. We hoping for blessings. We hoping to get to the next level. Walking in church Sunday after Sunday being disappointed because of the hope factor that is brewing on the inside of you and being manifested across the pulpit to tell you that's all you need is hope. But God cannot function in hope. You expecting him to do it and still walking in obedience ties his hands. Hallelujah. Reality sets in. When it get quiet like this, it's better than any praise that you can give me. Because you seeing yourself all in the mess. So now you mad because all I have to do is hope. That's what they say. So, Lord, I got great expectation that you're going to work it out on my behalf. Lord, you're going to give me a job. I know it because you said in your word, I'm going to get it. So you go home, lay in your bed, don't even do anything. And think the hope creed is going to get you through. Now we're getting so bad, we tangling hope with faith. And we got people telling us that faith is only hoping. When the scripture said, faith without works is, faith is not something that you speak, it's something that you perform. Hallelujah. And you perform it underneath the umbrella of obedience, not. So we think because of the great hope and expectation movement, we think that we can praise our way out of a situation, that we can have hope beyond hope, and God's going to work it out on our behalf. But we're doing all of this underneath of the umbrella of disobedience. And it's all because we are being disobedient unto the plan that God has set before us, that he cannot bless us. Hallelujah. Let me express this to you. We want God to forgive us of our sins, but we cannot forgive other people that sins against us. So we hoping that we are forgiven of the mess that we do. But the scripture clearly declares that if I'm not obedient to the principle of forgiveness, you cannot obtain forgiveness. Let me express this to the finer matter that I possibly can. Matthew 6:14. Clearly declares unto me that for ye forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive. It is obedience that is stopping you from giving forgiveness of the stuff that you have done to other folks because you refuse to forgive somebody that trespassed against you. But now you got hope for deliverance, and he can't even give you deliverance because you won't do the principle of obedience and forgive somebody that stepped on your toes when you ran around there and jumped on 10 people's toes. But yet, you want to praise your way through your deliverance. Ah, God's going to deliver me. And walk out of here with the same nasty attitude that you had when you came in here, not speaking to somebody that done you wrong 10 years ago, and you don't even know what they done now. But yet, you're going to be blessed. The devil is a lie. You're going to get word today. We can't stand when somebody judges us when we trip and fall. We can't stand when people talk about us when we've done something wrong. But we always judging others. The scripture clearly declares unto me, Matthew 7:1, judge not is not the person, it's you. You run around here to judgmatic with your black robe on and your gavel. Every time you see somebody, you're judging the way they dress, you're judging the way they talk, you're judging the way they walk, you're judging who they talk to. You are the judger. Judge Dredd. You got an institution set inside of you that everybody going to hell. But yet, the moment somebody bring you to the reality of what you doing wrong, Who do they think they are? They ain't God, but yet you are. But your disobedience to the plan of not judging is the reason why you are in a situation where God cannot bless you. We want God to heal us and deliver us, but he cannot. Because we don't know how to work faith. We hear one day, there tomorrow. We up one day, down the next. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And our faith is so unstable that one moment I can get around faith people and I want to say how good God is. But the moment I get around the unsaved, I switch. Oh, my back hurting. Oh, I feel sick. Oh, one day you wake up, oh, God is a good God. Next thing you cursing God. Faith is not faith unless it's tried. When the trying of your faith comes, that's when there's supposed to be a mechanism on the inside of you to push through and realize that God is a good God. Yes, he is. I'm going to trust him. Yeah, one moment you're inside church on a Sunday morning, Lord, I trust you. The next day you don't trust nothing that he's saying. Yeah, when you get around holy folks, you can be holy with them and you can imitate God with them. But when you're all by yourself, your disobedience to what you have spoken on Sunday is causing you to be hindered and causing the death to come in your life from the plan that God has set forth. It was only come to pass, but now it's come to dwell because of your disobedience to the plan. God cannot bless you because of your disobedience. Now you want to blame the preacher that laid hands on you. He ain't anointed. I get to meet to a place where I told somebody last week, I hate the altar call. Because what everybody don't understand, go on, baby. Altar call functions off of obedience. Not mine's obedience, but yours. Because I can be all obedience I want to be with God at the altar. But if you can't receive and stand on it in the midst of a battle and a war, you'll die every single time. I see some of y'all waking up a little bit now. We want God to bless us financially. How many of y'all want to be blessed financially? But we cannot, but he cannot because of our disobedience to the principle of giving. I'm going to give my dollar. And I'm going to get me a million in return. But you're sitting there with $10,000 in your pocket and ain't paid tithes on not one of them. I can't give tithes. I'm barely making it now. Hold up. Wait a minute. Excuse me. I don't preach on tithes. But I'm going to preach today on tithes because I'm tired of being disobedient to God. So if y'all don't like tithes, you don't give tithes, that's up to you. You ain't gonna say you didn't hear it here. Let me express to y'all the principle of tithes. Tithes is you not giving God jack. You owe it to him. It's a loan that he gave you that you have to repay. And what's happening with you, because you're not repaying the loan, that's why you're getting repossessed. He repossessing your job. He repossessing your car. He repossessing your homes. He repossessing everything that the financial blessing that he gave you has acquired in your life, including your peace and happiness. He said, give him a tenth that is owed or due, a due. That word owed me due back unto him. When it's supposed to be paid? The very time that you receive it. How much? Every increase that you receive. Let me tell you why some of y'all mess up there. Every time somebody give me anything, I give a tenth on it. Somebody give me a dollar, I give a tenth on it. Somebody give me $20, I give a tenth on it. Somebody lend me money, I give a tenth on it. It doesn't matter. Because I done seen pockets fall down by the wayside and you wonder why. What you do is you assure yourself always having a job, a home, a car, and finances because God wants his. And he knows that he can trust you to give his. He's going to make sure you get yours. Some of us can't even comprehend that we are cursing ourselves because we're not giving a tenth of what God said. Are you ever tested? Yes. That's when you stand on obedient to the plan. Let me express this to you. Can I get funky with y'all for 5 minutes? I'm not giving you a free will quest to do a move, but I got to tell you this. It doesn't matter whether you saved or unsaved. If you give a tenth, your finances have to be blessed. Y'all want to know why? What's the number one retailer? No, what's the number? Not the one. What? Not the retailer. What's the number one retailer, wholesaler, consumer marketing industry inside the world? Do y'all know that Walmart gives 10%? Did y'all know that Walmart pay tithes? Y'all didn't know that, did y'all? You want to know why? They was the only company in the recession that showed a profit margin at the level they was, because it's a principle of giving that if you give, it's an obedience factor. There's no way drought can hit my house. And if it do hit, I go to the barrel every single time and find something up in it. Some of y'all cursing yourselves. You want to know why you can barely make it? Because he's trying to get your attention. He can't bless you because you're not giving offerings. Tithes is what you're supposed to give. It's your loan repayment back unto God for all the benefits he done gave you. Offering is how much you want to give. Offering is not required, but it is accepted. You don't need to give an offering in order to reap the benefits of tithes. But if tithes has this principle set in heaven that we have not seen, that is like a calculator standpoint, where if you do this, these are the blessings that he have to give to you. Offering is a principle that it supersedes that, because you supersede that is required. So I can't just give him what is due to him. He's giving me beyond what is due to me. So I have to give him beyond, because he's giving to me beyond. God owes no man. You do not put that underneath the tithe umbrella. You can't give 12, 14, 15% of your tithes. You got to give 10% of your tithes and lock that underneath of the offering umbrella to show that it's more. I supersede grace. I supersede the law. I'm in the obedience of grace. Y'all want to know how important it is that when Abraham came back and gave Melchizedek 10%, if everybody ever look at the scripture, that's how come we are now Abraham's seed. And God is still giving to Abraham's children, because Abraham gave what was due unto. I'm reaping the benefits of that. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the next one. You got to give a certain way. God loves a. If you want to be nasty about it, keep your money to yourself. If you're doing it out of necessity, keep your money to yourself. Any of y'all ever wrote a loan payment back, you mad about it? It'll be in the mail. No good and well ain't in the mail. When you got to do, when you do some crazy things when you don't want to give it. If you don't understand this principle, don't do it. Because you got to want to do it. I want to give. When you want to give, you feel bad when you don't give right. Somebody told me they want to give me something. I requested for them. You got to give it to me. I don't want anybody to ever put anything in my account, because I need to see what you give me. So, and not that I want to know what you give me, so I'm not going to be cursed. Amen? Next one. You ready? This is why we died. We got some folks in here are doing this right. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Y'all ready for this? We dying here, though. You got to be a good steward. I love shopping with my kids. I love shopping with them. I learned so much with them of what not to do. Let me express to y'all how I shop. I walk in the store. I go straight to the clearance rack. I do not go outside the clearance rack. I may go to a rack that got sales on it, but I do not buy anything that's full price. I may get some crazy pants like I got on now, But these are $90 pair of pants for about $20. I'm stupid like that. But that's the, my concept is I don't know no other way to do it and still be blessed. I can go into a store and buy four outfits for the regular price of one. Of course, it may not be something that somebody else wanted because it's on the clearance rack. But that's okay. Work it out, Glenn. I look good in it today. Y'all can talk what y'all want to talk. I didn't know they were so tight, but I'm going to get my word out of it. I'm going to get my word out. I'm getting my $20 out of it. Because I'm going to be a good steward of my money. I don't like giving it to somebody that don't tithe. Ouch. I hate loaning money to somebody that don't tithe. Because the scripture clearly tells us to give unto fertile ground. I have a problem. We was in New York. I seen these beautiful pair of shoes that I wanted to get. Asked the man. He said, oh, I love them shoes, man. I wanted them shoes bad. $199. Okay. Go outside. You know you want them shoes. Yeah, I want them shoes, but I'm not going to pay $199 for no pair of shoes. When I can get these boots on clearance for $35, it doesn't make no sense to me. It's got to be in you to be frugal about money. We're not blessed because we think that if we get a dollar, we waste too much. And the reason why God stopped giving you, because he don't want you to waste your inheritance. Prodigal son, we have to learn to be good stewards of what God has given us. I love Riri. Riri is probably one of the tightest marketed things I ever seen. She has this gift of being a good steward. She will buy, but I don't think, you don't buy full price or anything, do you? You hear Cheyenne? No. It's a tightness. And I'm going to tell you, I have some uncles that was, and we was kids, couldn't comprehend why our parents was like this. But now I understand. That's why they all was, do y'all understand? They raised kids of 15, 14, 8, 9, 6 with jobs where we were like, how did you do it? Not two income, but one. And all of us. And if any of them tell you this, that they didn't eat well, they lying to you. All of us ate good. God learned how to multiply. I'm serious. The reason why he's not blessing us, because I disobedient to the plan of good stewardship. Time for us to stop lying to folks. I told a sister this morning, didn't even know what I was doing. I like to mess with this one individual inside the church, Muffin. I don't want to tell her nobody her real name. And so she was sitting there, and she was writing a check out. And sometime with me, I say things before I even know what I'm saying. And I was joking with her, but in the joke, I had to stop and say, I'm not joking. God told me to change your amount. She thought I was joking at first. Then she heard my voice, and she said, okay, I'm going to do it. It was the obedient factor to not me. I'm just a deliverer of the plan. It could have been G. It could have been a kid. We got to understand that you're not being obedient to me. We're being obedient to the plan. What plan? That her finances be blessed. God just sending a messenger to tell you how to be blessed. But what's happening is we get an attitude with the deliverer, and we're being disobedient to the deliverer. But he's just here to deliver what God said. Samuel just delivered to Saul what God said. And what God is pretty much telling me, Samuel, issues are our issues. And I'm closing, and I hope y'all like this word. God reject him. And I always said, David was disobedient, wasn't he? David tried. His disobedience came out of personal sin. David was never disobedient to the plan of God. There's a difference. If you got issues, and this is why I want to get to you, that's outside the plan, and you keep coming up short, God can deal with that. But he cannot deal with you when you're disobedient to the plan for you to become blessed, because you neglect his movements to bless you. Watch this, what he did, and then we're coming in. Saul issues that he wanted to dictate what God commanded him to do. He wanted to dictate what God commanded him to do. He still wanted to be in control of what God told him to do. He wanted to do it his way. We want to praise God our way. We want to do service our way. We want to do it our way. God told him, kill everything. But he wanted to keep the best. Y'all want to know why he wanted to keep the best? So he can raise his stature. Now let me express something to you what he did. I'm going to show y'all us. Y'all ready? I'm going to show y'all us. He kept every animal that it was, the best of it, and put it underneath the umbrella that he wanted to sacrifice them unto God. You do not sacrifice all the animals at one time. What would animals do if you keep them a long time? There you go. Saul realized that the animal's going to multiply sooner or later, and he'll have more than enough. And he only had to sacrifice in the time of sacrificial offerings, and he can sacrifice at the time of sacrificial offering and still have abundance inside his bosom. That's us. We want to keep some back. We want to keep some back. We want to keep some back. Because we bought that status quo. Ready for this? Then he blamed it on the people. Well, I just listened to what the people said. No, he didn't. He was king. He knew he didn't have to. You can't blame your faults on nobody else anymore. Number three, he thought it was wasteful to destroy the best sheep. I'm playing God. Because he said that they all was good that he kept. And then number four, he tried to justify it by saying that he was going to use it for God. Keep God's name out of your mess. You're not doing it for God. You're doing it for yourself. That's why your disobedience have you in a position that you are, that blessings cannot function. I was speaking to somebody this week. One of the reasons why we are still in this beautiful, blessed building that we are in, beyond our time, is because of our disobedience to the plan of move to the next level. Y'all want to know why? We can't even handle what we have now. We can't even take care of what we have now. When you're not obedient to the plan, he cannot bless you with something more. We argue and fuss about little things. We argue and fuss about finances and money. We argue and fuss about all of these issues when we need to just say, oh, well, I'm happy I'm here. Guess why? There's some folks that are in a school. Some folks are in homes. We have something here that we are paying more than is required for us to pay, but I'm blessed and happy that we're paying it. I thank God for my landlord. Even if he don't want to bless us, we still going to bless him. I'm not going to argue and fuss about anything anymore because I'm waiting for God to release out of the spirit of obedience that I've given unto the plan my blessings in return. I went back to work for a company and it seemed like I'm going around in a circle, and God told me that you keep failing the test. That's why you're back here again. What you mean? I hate it. I hate working construction. Can't stand it. I'm going to do something different. Keep on back. Any of y'all like that? Hate it. Till this time around. I love it. Happy. Making a difference. I'm there. Why? You can't get out of it, Glenn, until you enjoy. What you doing? People come to me. First job. I said, got a job. I hate bigoted companies and men that don't think I know what I'm doing, and I got to prove myself all over again to them. First person I dealt with was the one on the job. Okay. Let me give you a chart on how to dig a ditch. I've been digging ditches, sloping them back 10 years. He ain't never been on a piece of equipment. He's going to try to tell me how to do my job. Thank you, sir.
and read it.
Ah, y'all missed that.
And read it.
I want to get to the next level. It ain't about him no more. Ain't about me trying to show him off. I want to get to the next level. I'm tired of the circle movement in my life. And if I got to spend 30 seconds reading something that I already know, it ain't about him. I'm coaching football again. And God spoke something to me and said, I don't want you to be a coach. I want you to be a pastor. First time you was a coach. Y'all don't understand. I was on a football field. I wasn't no pastor on a football field. Justified it too. Hey, guy, one guy wanted to fight me on a football field. Yeah. Your cousin Hurt said, I got him. I got him, pastor. Because I can get on your nerve. You're a coach on the opposite side. I use that device to win games. Trickery and, you know, why don't we could be churching on Sunday? I'm going to play football today. This time I'm different. You seen how many people came from my team to the cookout and how many came to church the next day and how many come to the altar. I'm not failing this test this time. There's a bigger plan. There's more to where God has me at than what I see. You are going through your sickness because there's a plan that God has. You're going through your financial drought because there's a plan that God has for you. Do not fail the test by being disobedient, not to pastor, not to the city, not to the individual in here, but to the plan. Kill that spirit of disobedience by doing it in spite of how you feel. I have to tell you, it's like everything started clicking in my life. Since I'm learning this obedience, I mean, I always thought I was. I'm not going to lie to y'all. But God started revealing to me the things in the areas what I'm not. That's where the error is, why he blessed me, then I lose the blessing. You ever get that way? It's like you up here for 1 minute and you're down here. So when I started doing assessment, a woman that work that is partners with me, she said, why are you doing assessments every weekend? Because I tell her all the time, I assess myself. And I tell her, in order for me and her to be in business together, I need her to assess herself. Because I'm not going to be in business with somebody that I'm assessing what I'm doing wrong and you're not assessing what you're doing wrong. So I'm coming to understand that every week we need to start assessing ourselves of how we acted that week. You really can't do it after 1 day because it's only being manifested after a couple of days. You'll see yourself getting worse. Assess yourself. Do not try to say, this person made me. I always say this to myself, what did I do to cause this person to? How could I do it differently? When you do that, you are walking a blessedness that's beyond measure. Not everybody's against you. Sometimes we put off these vibes that cause people to want not to be around us. And our vibe that we put off is this underneath this umbrella of a disobedience or rebellion. Things are usually not like it seems. I have minister meetings, and one thing I'm trying to teach my ministers is they are in control of their own destiny. A lot of what they haven't quite comprehend yet, and I'm going to give them a little tidbit right now. I don't give a darn what they write. I just care of their attitude towards doing it. I want to see their presentation. I want to see their joy. I want to see their happiness, because not all of them has been fully developed at the level where they need to be, a T.D. Jakes or Noel Jones or Cynthia James. Some of them in their ability, they are very weak. But none of y'all in here as saints of the Most High God would really look at any ministers if they are not fully knowledgeable of the word. What y'all look at and what y'all assess somebody is their attitude when they stand up here, right or wrong. Y'all can tell the truth. Tell the truth. I asked you a question, right or wrong. You see a humble person, oh my gosh. You see a person that giving God, you just want to gravitate to them. How many of y'all, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all were running a board on Gladys? Seriously. How many of y'all, if Aunt Gladys was at the front door, you would walk out the back door? If Aunt Gladys stood at the front door and said that, I'm going to hug everybody came through, it'd be a line wrapped around the building. Y'all go out the back door just to line up around the building, just come back and get a hug this way from her. Why? Why? It ain't love. All of us got love. Why? It's her presentation. She do not do it fake and phony. She's genuine. And if God told her to do it, she does it. Aunt Gladys told me something one day, and I knew it walking three steps away and said, hold on, she just got on me. And worse, she really did a sweet way of telling me I was 100. Cut me. She was like in the old days with a man with a really sharp knife that cuts you and you walk away four or five steps and you say, oh, I've been cut by somebody. We don't have to be harsh and nasty. When we love doing God's plan, we present it to the best because we want the plan to succeed, not us. She don't care about the glory of selling pastor what's right and wrong. She cares about what need to be done, get done.
Father God, we'd like to thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to just be here, to hear your word, to gain revelation, to understand that which you need us to have to be successful Christians into your walk, continuing to look over and guide us and lead us into our future that we may obtain the destiny that you have purposed into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.